on your computer.
Okay, great. Good.
And I'm going to...
All righty, gentlemen, take it away.
Hello, everybody. This is Artie Cornfella, and you know what? This is the spirit. You know why? This is Memorial Day. Let me flash you back. 1969, Woodstock Ventures was out of money. Michael was upstate, you know, building, and I was with my staff doing the promotion, getting people, and we were out of money, and it was my wedding anniversary on Memorial Day to the late mother of Woodstock, Linda Cornfield, and I got this idea to run an ad in the newspaper, and in all reality, Bill Rosenman did help. Once I told Joel, Michael was busy trying to get things together, you know, on his side, and ran the ad on Memorial Day in a couple of days that year, and that brought in the over $1 million that got us some money to at least have no gates but have a great time. So that's the story about that. On the line with me now, the group is Far Off Place, and is a very good friend of mine. His name is Jamie Gardner. And Jamie, what?
How you doing, Howdy?
How did we meet, my friend?
We met quite a ways back. I had a band. I was traveling up and down the East Coast, and looking. We had a record out, and I was looking for a good record promoter, and you were highly recommended.
So what happened? You called me in California.
That's right. That's right. And yep, and we got to be good friends. It was really funny because the band later broke up and the record didn't come out, but we remained friends through all those years, and just have had a great friendship. You were really...
Right.
You know,
and it was a good record because Jamie is very talented and does sing, but he's sort of folk rock folky, and I had 18 of the top 20 rock songs, and it just wasn't the stations I was calling then, so I really couldn't help him. But for some reason, that must have been around... let's see, about 85, something like that.
Yeah, 87. I want to say
87, okay. Yeah. And Jamie told me I was going through a horrible divorce, and Jamie told me about his sons, and I talked to him on the phone, and as the years went on, and we helped each other through life as friends without even meeting for 15, 16 years, he started to say, you know, little Tim, how old was Timmy when he first picked up the sticks and started playing on the garbage can?
I think I can remember him being about 2 years old and playing on tin cans with wooden spoons.
Right, and Jason, you said, I can't believe Jason's got a guitar and he's starting to actually write songs.
That was really amazing, and I was really impressed with the songs. I sent them down to you just to see what you thought, and, you know, you really loved the stuff, too, and...
Yeah, I sat on it enough to get me, you know, was very secure. But this is one. This is because I said I never do it for the money. I do it for the music and also the people. You know, in reality, that's how Michael Lang got in to see me, because that was always my reputation. So when he came to Capitol, I let him in to see me, and Jamie and I just became friends. Went through a lot of sadness, and all of a sudden, I got a tape, and I was on my way to Newport to work with this band Far Off Place that I had never met, but who I liked. I liked the demos. So it's just an amazing story how friendship could hold. All of us, the spirit of Woodstock is very serious. You know why? The spirit of Woodstock has nothing to do with the festival now. It has to do, because I go to a lot of countries, it has to do that every kid in the world starts studying Woodstock in the seventh grade, and it's really special to the young kids. And then what's really amazing is when in Italy, in Korea, you know, in France, in Hong Kong, I mean, Woodstock is like it was here 30 years ago. It's like it just happened, like, you know, 10 years before, you know, and it's just coming into its own as these kids grow up. So I'm going to say, Jamie, thank you so much for being my friend and for being in the studio with me you know, it's hard to find lifelong friends, and the fact that we finally did meet and hang out was the icing on the cake. So now
we're gonna
the band is called Far Off Place, and now this oddly enough, this the first cut is a cut that was that we never really finished, and then I did some work on it with with the engineer Shelly Akis, and we thought it was going to be a throwaway cut, and it's on the album. But we were just talking one day about a name, and somehow Far Off Place came up, and we said, let's call the band Far Off Place, and Jason wrote the song. So I'm going to say goodnight to the dad, and then Jason and Timmy are now really good friends of mine, along with Jim Burns, who used to be in the band and sometimes is in the band. So we're going to put on the theme of the band, Far Off Place, and get Jason Gardner, Jamie's son, on the phone. doing good rock music. I mean, that's good rock music. Not because I had something to do with it, because I enjoy hearing it, you know. Why did you write, your lyrics, is, you know, for the age you were at when you wrote some of these lyrics, were so young, and yet they were so mature. Eleanor was amazing in the studio, because that's something that just seemed to come together in the basement. By the way, this is when I brought in Shelley. At this point, I thought the band was good enough to call Shelley Akis, who was on. And between Shelley and I, he had about 150 platinum albums, owned part of Interscope, built the A&M Studios, and was president. So Shelley and I both, you know, just had a love for the kids, and Shelley had a love for me, and then he started to love the music, and the band was great, and Jason and I connected immediately in the studio, so we were going the same direction, right? We were coming from a far-off place, and I'm very proud of the guitar work on that and the way it came out. As a producer, you know, it's fun because I'm not already Woodstock tonight. I'm already the producer saying, hey, dig what I did a couple of years ago, you know, and I still think it's gonna come out when the album is finished, and I think it's going to happen. Eleanor, the song sort of explains itself, right, Jay?
Yes, pretty much. Hey, Artie, thanks for having me back on the show again. Appreciate that. Eleanor, you know, just about a girl a while back, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, Jason had the reputation in the Rhode Island area of being quite the ladies' man. He was always with a beautiful woman.
Uh-oh, gonna get me in trouble now.
Well, he's got that New England Tom Brady six three, reddish blonde hair, you know. He's got that Irish crazy look, you know, and he is. You know, and he's a good friend. It's funny when your friend's kid becomes your friend.
Thanks,
you know, so I don't look at Jamie. I don't even care if I look at him like a nephew. He's a friend. And in the studio, I can't wait till we get back in again on new stuff. But I'm really proud of this stuff.
Looking forward to it.
Right, and we had a cut that we didn't think was going to work, and then when I got to Philadelphia and sat down with Ted Richardson at Cedar Street, and with Shelley Akis and myself, Jason had written a song that had incredible lyrics in it that I loved, that we weren't going to put on the album, but when it got mixed together, even when I called Jason and I sent him the tape, even he was surprised at how it came out, and so was I. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we aimed for it, but we didn't expect it to come out the way it did, and it's really called a crystal ball. Boy, if we had a crystal ball. Well, we do have a crystal ball, so let's all pull for America to come back together, and for these countries, like 50 people getting killed today in Syria, I believe it was. I mean, you know, we got to stand up for the good, and that's what I call the spirit of the Woodstock Nation. It's not about the concert. It's about the love we have inside of us, you know, and crystal ball, if I could look into my crystal ball, and I guess this is what Jason saw when he looked into his crystal ball.
Took a ride one sunny day with my future straight ahead of me. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Artie. Welcome to the spirit of Woodstock Nation. You know, by the way, everybody, I can use that in Woodstock Ventures. That doesn't mean Michael Lang. Don't forget, Michael has partners in Woodstock Ventures, but they had stopped me, but, you know, because I'm not part of Woodstock Ventures, because I went into the spirit and into just what the Woodstock was all about, and not into the commercialism so much. Crystal Ball, that line, you say exactly, you say...
In the chorus there, I say... You can fall below the haze, you can fly above the days, you know, kind of like a personal perspective on life, cup half empty, half full type of thing, you know, negative or positive outlooks, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, and it almost also has like a, you know, be careful with drugs and alcohol thing, like watch yourself, because you could also fall, or else you could fly above it all.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, and I guess it hit me, you know, pretty heavy because, you know, I lost my daughter and, you know, this is, always love that line. Let me ask you something. Gotta Be Down. I love Gotta Be Down. Where did you come from?
Well, Gotta Be Down is kind of like, you know, your classic lost love song, It's kind of, you know, about the relationship or love, you know, torn apart, but maybe, you know, one of those hopeful for later in life type of feel, something like that, you know?
Yeah, everybody's...
Broken heart kind of song.
Yeah, and you know what? If you take it to anything, you know, we used to say, hey, we got to get down, which meaning we got to get it on, and it also has that other meaning is you really got to be down to even know what's up, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't know down, you can't know what up is.
Exactly.
Let me ask you something. You're young 20s, okay? And what are your friends? Because you're in a really taxation, like, crazy state, Rhode Island, where when I was there,
right,
I couldn't
believe
a carton of cigarettes was $80 and a gallon of gas was like $800. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Very regulated in all the wrong places, in my opinion. But,
really,
you know, to say that regulation's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just when it's not in the right place and it's affecting the everyday, the hard-working people, and it's not affecting, you know, maybe some of the people that have a lot of pleasures in life, born with the silver spoon type people, and kind of comes down a little hard sometimes on a lot of group of people, you know, me and my group of friends and a lot of people I know.
Have a lot of your friends dropped out of high school?
Yeah, I know a bunch of people that have a lot of great friends of mine, a lot of really good people, very smart people, yeah, have dropped out of high school. You know, when I was growing up, I kind of saw this little phase in particularly the high school I went to where it was kind of like almost trying to weed the people out instead of trying to give kids hope and help them as best they could. It's kind of like, you know what, you know, if you're going to show up late, you're not going to graduate, you know, all this stuff. And it was kind of sad. But.
Yeah, well, in reality, it was the governor and the government. It really, it's almost like saying, you know, we're going to make it as hard as possible because we need your guy to be sod farmers and to be farmers and to do all of our dirty work for us. You know, so we really want to keep you down because we don't want, just like the whole thing with the Tea Party, like, let's not fund the schools anymore, you know, let it all be charter schools. What about people that can't afford charter schools? What about the kids in the ghettos, right? Like on the hill in Providence, there's some kids that'll never get out of there or in the ghetto, right?
You know, it seems like a lot of things that just should be common sense, you know, aren't really happening the way they should. But you've seen plenty of that already. I mean, you grew up in the, you know, civil rights movement and what, you know.
Yeah, no, I always had a cause, probably because of my parents and because of just the way I am, but the cause was always, music was always the way to open the door for me, you know.
That's right.
you know, and that's how I learned you got to be down. Now you know both there's a love side and there's also another side, because right now you got to be down, but you also got to get down to survive this, because there really should be trade schools all over America so people that can't become psychiatrists and doctors could be mechanics, you know, could be electricians, you know. And when I was a kid in New York and when I went to high school, which is in the 50s, believe it or not, because I'm in my sixth decade making records, and I remember they had special schools. Like there was a school for printing, there was a school for mechanics, you know. And boy, we sure need that in this country, don't we?
Oh, absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, so you got to be down. Every night and every morning, that when I wake up, I'll be alert enough to be just one of the people. And you know, like, it's really weird because it has nothing to do with religion. Every day I say God bless you to everybody, not meaning any particular God, just whatever.
Not just when
whatever makes you feel real good to make other people happy. That's what's so much fun about making music. You know, when you get an audience, you know, that is understanding and is with you. You know,
that's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you know, I haven't really heard the new stuff you're doing, but I heard it's really great. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the band's been writing so much lately. It's hard to. We got a lot of stuff we got to get out there for sure. So.
Yeah.
We get our finances together and we learn this program a little bit. Hopefully you'll be up here right with us in the studio to make a little homemade album or something.
Right. So everybody out there, send $10,000 to the Artie Cornfield Recording Foundation. And if I use some to pay my overhead each month, you know, that's wonderful.
$10,000 minimum.
Yeah, $10,000 minimum and you get a box of My son who is the vice president of Soar Guitars and Equipment. You also get a Soar guitar. They start at $3,000. The winner of the contest, you've already recording money. You know,
that's perfect right there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really weird because, you know, I realize how much I spoke, you know, I've spoken live probably 300 times a year, and I think I've only taken money 7 times in 43 years to show up somewhere. You know, it's always been because to keep the feeling going, because I was doing music and connected with music, and now I'm working with, you know, Davin McCoy, and there's been some great bands on the show, and it's amazing. When I was playing all the Woodstock acts, it was great. Now, as soon as I switched to the new bands, a whole new audience came on Facebook, and, you know, the emails came, and, you know, like Z-Man, we have people. Do we have Hong Kong this week again, or we don't have Hong Kong?
We have Hong Kong every week. We got a nice listenership in Hong Kong. Remember, it's lunchtime in Hong Kong.
I wish I was there because I really love Chinese food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not just yet. Not just yet is the Poppy song, but, you know, it seems like women really like it. And not just yet is self-explanatory. And I guess we have to live with that every single day and realize that even though it's not just yet, it will turn around and it will be. Song ended, and I'm here, and I didn't know the song ended, but the song didn't really end because, boy, it's not just yet, you know.
Because it's playing somewhere else right now.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, every day in this economy, in this world, it's sort of like people have dreams, and they get doors closed, and there aren't the jobs available, and. People are saying, okay, well, we're gonna move and we're gonna buy our first house, but it's not just yet. And I think people your age, you know, and people my age still are saying, you know, I want to leave it better for your generation, you know.
Hell, I've been saying not just yet for a long time now.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? It just happens. You know, it happened to me very young, but that's just the way it goes. But I think if you stick and you keep the spirit inside of yourself alive, personally, on a political note, my opinion only, I really wish that there wasn't that one senator that's filibustering every bill that Obama tries to put through. Not that Obama is perfect, but you know what? I thought it was sort of funny that Romney years ago was against helping the auto industry, even though his father, I think ran General Motors, and put it down, and now that it worked, he's saying it wasn't Obama's idea, it was his idea. It was his idea all along.
Well, is anyone better at playing both sides than Mitt Romney? I don't think.
Yeah, I know. I heard he's going to be in Wimbledon and play. I heard he's playing doubles at Wimbledon, and he's playing both sides, all four people.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, he has a lot of rackets. That's a tennis racket, hey, everybody's entitled to believe what they want in this country, but the fact that the fear factors in, and the feeling that, oh, I really pray the country doesn't go violent, I mean, we should show the world how to turn it around. I mean, when you go to Korea, their economy is booming, but we rank 14th in the world for schools, and in Korea, the kids were complaining to me because they have 2,000 hours more school, and here we're knocking out education, and here's one of the most successful countries and one of our biggest allies, Korea. They're about one of the third or fourth best economies in the world because the kids are trained, and do have the tools.
Well, I think we're a little bit more focused on making sure our military stays number one.
Well, it has to stay there, but we don't have to be at war. But the fact is, there are they're like gangsters. I grew up in honestly, I come from Brooklyn, where the same place Michael comes from, Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. And Bensonhurst was known for being a Jewish and Italian community and a very mafia-oriented community, except for the fact Sandy Koufax, was from three blocks from my house. That's something to be proud of. See, those are too young. Sandy Koufax is probably the greatest pitcher that ever lived, but he got hurt, so he had a short career. But he did pitch a lot of no-hitters for a short period of time. So that was not just yet. James Burns comes in, so he's singing a couple of songs, and actually one I sort of wrote with him, and actually Jason and I are working on a song. This really is sort of like a family affair, and it's a joy, but it's still the pressure because, believe me, I feel for Davin McCoy, and I want him to happen, or Rebecca Culhane, or the Alumni Club, or Jimmy Nix, or the people that have been on the show. There's been some great bands on the show. The Kinetic, there's just been some really good people. Little Hockey, it's all kinds of music. And I think we want all kinds of music. I think we're tired of just seeing a loud band on stage where you can't hear the lead singer, and the songs don't say anything. They don't say anything. It's almost like they're all like Kiss. I mean, what did Kiss ever say in a song that meant anything? And I knew them all, and their manager was a friend of mine, he just passed away last year, their original manager. He started something amazing because he started the thing about, putting out the T-shirts and the sweatshirts and on Halloween, that's the biggest selling costume, is a Gene Simmons costume.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
I think my brother, Tim, might have had one of those, maybe a couple.
Yeah, really. Well, we've all traveled the universe, haven't we?
The Army.
The one thing is the title of the next song is, We'll Never Walk Alone, and even though you didn't write the whole song, or something, the way you played on it and was into it is like you were just as much into it as any other song. So, The trouble is too many people are walking alone. And that's why, even though I think it's ridiculous, so I was talking to Bob Geldof about it, because he did Live Aid, I did Woodstock. It's an interesting conversation. And the fact is, when I talk to Michael, we know the secret, but, you know, too many people, instead of pulling together, are walking alone. Like, my Facebook wall's incredibly great, you know, and the Woodstock, I guess it's adoration from people, and it embarrasses me, but I know that I represent what we all represent, and is that we're tired of being alone, you know. We want to be able to live together in peace, and this song is just called Walk Alone. Nation, a song about walking alone and about having a, you know, almost a psychedelic experience, you know. Not that I've had them, but if you read my book, if you don't get the spirit, the Pied Piper Woodstock, you know, I don't push the book a lot for you. Right now there's a lot of things happening within other areas, but, you know, it's not just about Woodstock. It's about all of us, you know. You should check it out, because there's been like 500 comments on Facebook by people who read it that just were blown away, and it hurt to write it, because there's a lot of sadness, and there's also the joy of the spirit of Woodstock that emerges still no matter what we've all been through, you know. And I love the people that keep the spirit of music, because music and peace equal love, I think, you know, and the way you write, yeah, you seem to have the same feeling. Love's a big part, and I could feel the loneliness in your voice. We all have that. And when I say keep the spirit of the Woodstock Nation, I'm saying, you know, like I tell people, my favorite shot in a Woodstock movie is people sharing a sandwich, and the whole world should be sharing a sandwich right now, not just the 1% trying to make everybody else slaves, you know. It's just not right, and there's a lot of people walking alone, that's why the show, I think, does so well. I mean, when I heard we were over 16 million, it shocked me, you know, and now people, you know, there's people having lunch in Hong Kong right now that started listening about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So we're sort of spreading, and it's not me, it's you out there. It's you and the music. Everybody likes to hear new music they haven't heard and get off with it, you know? So anyway, I'm going to say to Jason, whatever's out now, you can get at the same places where you can get everything else. Right, Jay?
Yeah, that's right. It's all on facebook.com/faroffplace or iTunes. You can download any of the tracks from the record that already produced for us, Artie and Shelley and Ted, which we're very thankful for, which we think kicks ass, so hopefully you guys all like it, and we really appreciate Artie for having us on here again.
Oh, get out of here. You're like a brother to me, so I'm just gonna say good night to you. You could say good night to everybody, and I'm gonna play "What Have They Done," which I'm a part of with the band. Jason did some very scary harmonies. And what I want to know, and what I really ask these almost dictators in these countries, these oil barons, these people, Bain Capital, you know, Enron was the hint of what was coming. You know, I've been to India a lot, and, you know, I saw it in India 5 years ago. I saw people starving with nothing, and then I saw people with so much. And then when I found out that 1% of India controlled 99% of the wealth, you know, and I said America's heading in that direction, and that's when Bush was in. You know, but you know what, Woodstock Nation, you had the vote, and, you know, a lot of people voted for Bush, you know, a lot of people that were at Woodstock, so you made your choice, you know, and we'll see how the choice is. So far, it's just war. I don't like the fact we're in Afghanistan personally, you know. I don't think you could beat the drug lords. I mean, Vietnam, the French went under, the Russians went under in Afghanistan. The number one product is heroin, is poppy seeds, and also Afghanistan's always been known for selling weapons. And you know, get the people home, you know, because they're over there and they're walking alone. I know, because I've done Delta Force Radio, Hua Radio, twice, and I've gotten calls right from Afghanistan live, and from Iraq. And these guys are really great, and they would rather not be there, but they're doing what they think their country needs to be done, because they're taught to follow the chief of staff, you know. And remember, everybody, it's separation of church and state that's really important. Otherwise, we come to the next song, and that's called "What Have They Done," based more on what happened in Iraq and going right into Afghanistan now. So what have they done?
Teddy's early and yes.
Yeah, it's sort of funny. You can sort of hear my protest lyrics. And, you know, I really want to thank Jason Gardner and Timmy Gardner and the band and Jimmy Burns, who sang the last two songs. And you know, just the trip's really been fun for me. And it's so much fun making this music like this with simple, direct meanings said very clever. And it's rock and roll, and I like it. You know, it doesn't have to all be dark. It doesn't all have to be Dark Side of the Moon, you know.
Well, we really appreciate it, Artie. You know, you've done a lot for us, and the whole band's very thankful. And we thank you again for letting us on your radio show. And thanks to you as well, Jed.
Well, you know what? I gave your dad my word 20 years ago, and I kept it.
There it is.
But you came through.
That's the true man of work.
Yeah, well, you know, you came through, so what the heck. So I'm going to say goodnight. I can't wait to see you this summer, hopefully in the next month or two. And I love you, man.
You too, Artie. Take care.
Take care, Jay. Bye-bye. So, you know, I had a connection to get this man on the show, you know, and that was me. It's sort of funny, and you're my connection. I hope you enjoyed the music, because I really enjoyed listening to that music. You know, different things take you different places, you know. It's like, and it's supposed to be, you know. And this is good old late 60s rock and roll, just before the psychedelic trip, and it's real honest. And it's real good, you know, like if you got into the guitar playing and the sounds. But God Almighty, at Shelly Akis, who I had on, you know, who did everything from Rattlin' Hum to being owning part of Interscope to doing Breaking Benjamin. I mean, you know, who started with me when he was like 19, you know, a long time ago in the 60s, the mid-60s. So, yeah, we don't want to walk alone. And what have they done was just my sort of protest about how could you strap bombs to your kids just because God wants you to do it. I don't think so, you know. So I go back to the point of here we are a couple of months before Woodstock, a couple of months before the anniversary. I want to thank the MIT show in France asked me to be a keynote speaker. I can't even believe I'm going to France, because when I lived in New York, I never thought I'd ever get out of Brooklyn. So sort of a free vacation. And, of course, I didn't ask for a fee to speak on this one. But it will be a nice week for Caroline and I. God bless you all. I love you. And like Bert Sumner wrote for Linda and I at Woodstock when we were dosed, and we'd never taken anything and freaked out, and it sort of became our theme to one of our other themes, and it's I wish Bert were here to enjoy it, because you know what, we are Hold the Light, by the way, Hold the Light, and we are all playing in the same band. And good night, and keep the spirit of the Woodstock Nation alive and spread it.
Seems the times are changing. Finally, we're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning. And we're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. Oh, him, her, you and me, them and those. guitars for